That was good. I figure right now we better just wake up here a little bit. Praise the Lord, though. I'm telling you, I feel sorry for you guys. I have had a lot of fun at this church today, boy. I mean, I can feel the presence of the Lord. I like the way the Spirit works here. Choir, outstanding job again. The orchestra. Ladies, woo! And then that last group. Man, if they got sore throats, man, there's no hope for me, man. I'm in trouble. Good night. That was great singing. Great singing. And singing from the heart. And boy, you know, it's funny. Lord gave me this message, and I thought, why in the world are you going to give me this message, Lord? I mean, I've had about three or four pass in my mind, you know. But I think now I know why he wants me to get in the book of Joshua. But I want to thank you all for having me here. You don't know what an honor it is to stand behind another man's pulpit. And I'm always glad to have an opportunity to preach God's word. So I thank you for having me. And boy, I don't think I'll ever forget this place, man. I mean, woo, you guys have a lot of talent here. And God's working here. And guess what? I think he's going to continue to keep on working here. So we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I promise you, I will not keep you too late. I know Baptists get grouchy, man. You know, but don't forget, the stores are all open for 24 hours now. McDonald's is open and all hours, so we got plenty of time. But don't worry, it's going to be a short message, but I just hope that God will speak to you. And I think this even is going to help you on that little road there. I think, now I could be wrong, Lord. You know, the Bible says that, you know, you get prideful, you know, before pride there's a fall. I'm probably getting puffed up and I'm ready for a big fall. But I'm hoping to be a blessing to you tonight, so let's go to the Lord in prayer and see what he's got in store for us tonight. Father, we do call upon thee now, and Lord, I thank you once again for the privilege of preaching your word. And Lord, you know that as we, as a people, as we gather in your holy name this night, I'm praying, Father, for you to come down and visit us tonight. Lord, how I pray that your presence will be known, your presence will be felt. I pray for your Holy Spirit to work in our midst. And Lord, I pray that as a preacher of your gospel, how I pray, Lord, now that you'll fill me with your Spirit, give me wisdom and power. Lord, help me to say what you'd have me to say. We're going to give you the praise for it. I say this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you all stand and turn your Bibles over to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. And don't worry, I'm only going to look at just about nine verses here I want us to look at. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And the word of God says this: "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man. And command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared, of the children of Israel, and of every tribe, a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, the tribes of the children of Israel, that they may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." You may be seated. What I want us to look at tonight is we're looking at Joshua here. And I love the book of Joshua. Joshua is victorious. Joshua means Jesus. And in chapter 1, Moses is now passed on. He's given the authority to Joshua. Joshua is the leader. In chapter 2, you read about where Joshua sends out the spies. And in chapter 3, you see they're getting ready to cross over the Jordan. Now in chapter 4, they've crossed the Jordan. And Joshua tells the men, he says, I want each 12 men, I want you to get back into the Jordan. I want you to pick up 12 stones. Now these stones were not like what we think. You're going down to Tennessee. They got a lot of streams and lakes there. And you know, when you hit those streams, they got these little rocks. And you get to skin them all across the... I hope I'm not the only one that ever did that, but we used to skin them. And you go, and you'd see them bounce as far as you could go. Well, that's not that kind of a rock. What Joshua is telling these men to do is pick up... These are boulders. I believe they had to go to a brother and say, Brother, will you help me pick this up and put it on my shoulder? And they carried these rocks. And now what I want you to see is these rocks were to be set up as a memorial. He wanted the people of Israel to remember what God had just done. And don't forget, this was an amazing miracle. I realize, you know, we all know, hey, he separated the Red Sea. Look what he did with Moses. Well, Joshua, when he crossed that Jordan River, this was probably the worst time to ever cross the river. This river was a raging river. It was high, and yet Joshua was going to cross that, and God separated it. Now, what I like about that story is, number one, you know, Joshua, can you imagine a new leader? I even feel sorry if you ever get a new pastor, your new leader. They get nervous. And I'm sure when Joshua told these priests, now I want you to take the tabernacle and I want you to head into the Jordan River. Could you imagine how those priests must have felt? Priests weren't young men. I hope they weren't as old as me. But I bet you they were looking and said, what is the matter with this guy? He wants us to go into the river. Don't he know it's high? Does he think he's Moses? But they go into the river. Another thing about that tabernacle I thought was sort of interesting, and I didn't do a deep study, but I see there's some guys from Crown here so they can get me straight on this tabernacle. But I think the thing is, if I remember correctly, the tabernacle always was in the midst of the camp. It's not in the midst of the camp anymore. It's ahead of the camp. They're now following God. They're taking at his word. And as they go through this, and again, it's a memorial. It's something that Joshua wanted his people always to remember that what God had done. Now, me, I'm just going to shoot a few rabbits and then I'll run and hide. But I think one of the rocks that we need to start picking up in our life is, how about that rock of salvation? I want you all to remember about one thing. You know, I told you this morning, and I really mean it, I am a knucklehead. I think when you come into God's house, you ought to have, guess what, a good time. Now, I realize this is a sad time for the family. I understand that, brothers and sisters. But, man, the rest of us, man, I was ready to hoop and howl and carry on. But I promised, I says, man, if I do that, man, they'll make sure I never do come back, you know. But anyways, God, Lord probably says otherwise anyways. But I'm telling you, music's been great and singing's been great. But put on that rock of salvation. I want you, before you leave here today, I want you to be excited about God. I want you to remember where you came from. Isn't it always funny when you look at the Word of God, God has to tell us to love Him? Have you ever thought that was sort of weird? I remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6, doesn't God tell, the Moses tells the Israelites, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind? That's first time. Next time I read it is in the New Testament when a young man comes up to him and says, what do I got to do? He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind. Then I look at Revelation chapter 4. Whoops, I better get chapter 5. I might be wrong on that. Put away your notebook on that. Turn the speaker off. I might be wrong. But the first letter to the first church of Ephesus, God compliments the church. Man, they're doing everything, man. Singing, boy, they're working hard. We'll work till Jesus comes. I mean, they're working. But God tells them something. He says, hey, remember me? You've lost your first love. You know, we can be saved. You're looking at a man, I've been saved 39 years. Whew, woo, I'm getting old. I was a young man when I got saved. Good night. Woo. But anyways, I'm going to tell you something. Something happened April 4th, 1971. Here's a sinner, gets saved, and boy, God did something in my life. He changed me. I mean, boy, if you would have known me in the past, you wouldn't allow me here tonight, I'll tell you that. But thing is, God changed me. And don't get over it. You pick up that rock. Remember what God did for you. You people have been saved for a while. Don't worry, I'm going to pick on the old people now. Rejoice in the Lord. Hey, when these young people get saved, they ain't going to be spiritual giants like you all. You know, man, us old guys, man, and I know I'm tough. I'm tough on preachers, man, especially from Crown. I go, oh, man. Guys are all talented and smart. Oh, man, I just don't like it. We get hard on them. Hey, remember, we were young in the Lord. Remember, we made mistakes. Remember, lo and God, it's a growing experience. You know, hey, I know more about the Lord now than I did 39 years ago. Whoo-hoo, I was 27, 39. I was 60. Man, I am an old man. I know more about God today than I did before. We're all growing. I'm going to pick on this. Oh, man, this is a sweetheart over here. Uh-oh. Is that your daddy? He's going to throw his shoe at me. You know that. She's a young babe in Christ. She's not going to be as strong as some of you elderly saints. But she needs to look and see people who love God. That's why I tell you, I carry on. I get to, every now and then, they let me play around at Hope Children's Home. I let them, woo! Man, I love the Lord! Woo-hoo! You know, those kids are, whoa. You know, man, this is an old man. You're not supposed to get excited. Why not? You know, let me see. Now, I don't know what girls like to do anymore, but I think they still like shopping. And I think when they go to the store, they get a dress, or they get that big engagement ring. I don't think they're very dignified. Oh, look what I got! Look what I got! And if they're engaged, look at that finger! Ah, I got him. You're not bashful then. But boy, we come in the house of God. Holy. And I like that song, Holy, Holy. But we get a little carried away. Holy. Holy, oh, Lord, thou God, I'm here tonight. No, pick up that rock of salvation. Get excited. Remember where you came from. I don't know about you. That's why I love preaching. I preach down at the jail in Sarasota. I mean, there's a revival going on down there, man. We have a blast. I don't behave myself down there. I'm a wild man. I'm the weirdest old man they ever saw, man. I jump over the pews over there and scream and yell, carry on. Because I tell them, I say, look, I know what kind of Christians you usually run into. Oh, I can't get victory in my life. I can't quit smoking. I can't quit my drugs. I can't quit. What a bunch of liars. What do you mean you can't quit? Why don't you be honest and just say, I love my sin, Pastor. Right. At least the pastor knows how to pray for you. My Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have become new. My Bible says I'm freed from the bondage of sin. My Bible says I can do all things. So somebody's lying. Now either it's the book or maybe it's me because I want to have a pity party. Brother, pray for me. Because I can't get the victory over my cancer sticks. Man, I hope nobody smokes here. I'm going to be in trouble. You know. But I mean, you know, goodness. I realize I'm churching to the church choir. You people are faithful. God bless you for being faithful. But remember where you came from. Remember the day that you met the Lord. Don't get so cold-hearted and lose your joy. Man, I tell you, ladies, when those ladies were singing, man, I was ready. My friend Beth there, she had to control me. She says, remember, Tom, you're a guest. Don't carry on. Behave yourself. You know, I'm telling you, that was great singing. Boy, matter of fact, I'll tell you, it reminded me of heaven. I thought, you know how women are always getting mad at us preachers when we preach, I'm for your husband. I'll just knock that guy's block off. You know what? I just figured it out. Women, you're going to get to sing for the first 10,000 years, man. You're going to last our ears off just lifting up your voice of praise. I'll tell you, when we get to heaven, in case you don't know, it's an exciting place. Most young people, when they think of heaven, it's going to be boring, boring. No, it ain't. Ooh. Streets of gold, woo! Gates of pearl, and singing, woo. When I get up to heaven, the Lord's going to say, step aside, Brother Tom is now going to sing. I'm going to have that bass voice that I've been desiring for 200 years. J.D. Summers, look out, because I'm going to let it rip. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be beautiful. And guess what? We're going to be along with our loved ones. You're going to be with our friends again. I may never see this dear lady, her family again, but guess what? I'm going to meet you on the other side. Now, you may run away and say, that was that nutcase. We, man, good night. I don't know how he got in that church, but they let him in. But we're going to have a good time. So that first rock is remember where you came from. Fell in love with God once again. I also want you, I don't have my book. Fall in love with your Bible again. Fall in love with your Bible. Now, the reason why I usually pick on young people and preachers, especially these guys that are going to Bible colleges and that, don't listen to every word that they say at your college. Well, I go to Crown. I go here. I don't care. You got the book in your lap, King James Bible, 1611 edition. Guess what? Mark it down, settle it, get it straight, because you realize there's preachers in this country right now calling to college to see what they believe? God, shame on those men. Be a cold day, and I guess I can say to hell before I ever call somebody and say, what book do I believe? Man, when I got saved, I found out what book I believe. King James 1611. Guess what? The old man's going to keep on believing it. Fall in love with the book. And while you're in love with the book, read the book. Fall in love with it. Matter of fact, even before my last amen, my last farewell be to you, I'm going to tell you, get in the book tomorrow morning. Read the book. I like your bulletin. You're in Exodus. I think it said Exodus on there. I'm too lazy to run back up there. I'm getting old. I can't run up and down like I used to. Exodus. Get in the book. Get in the book. Read it. You know why? Because it's going to cleanse your mind. Fall in love with your Bible. You say, Brother Tom, what do you mean fall in love? Well, isn't it funny? If I walk down the street and I tear up a Quran, spit in it, kick it around, you know what might happen to the old man? Somebody's going to knock my block off. And if he's really practicing that religion, he might have my head on a platter. But isn't it funny? King James Bible, somebody spits in it, mocks it, tears it down. Oh, we don't want to offend nobody. Oh, aren't you great? Mess with my Bible, you're messing with me. I'll tell you what, that's one of the rocks that I got. There ain't nobody. I'll tell you, I've lost a lot of friends. Of course, you can tell I always lose friends. But I'll tell you what, I've lost a lot of friends. Why? Because I take a stand in the King James Bible. I'm going to defend it. It's God's inspired word to the people of God. And if you love your Bible, pick that thing up, pick up that rock, and make sure, first thing in the morning, I'm going to read the book. And guess what? Do what the book says. Another day I want us to pick on just for a minute. Don't worry, I'll run out of gas pretty soon. How about Sunday? I was just thinking about this the other day. How about making Sunday the Lord's Day again? I'm going to tell you, I thank you people for being faithful and you're here tonight. But you know what? There are some people don't know what Sunday is. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Sunday is a sacred day where we come and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there used to be a time that when you went to church on Sunday, if you didn't go to church on Sunday, you stuck out like a sore thumb. You was an oddball. Now guess who the oddballs are? You. Keep Sunday holy. Matter of fact, I was thinking of running for office. I want to run for office because, boy, guess what's going to be in effect immediately? Blue laws! You won't have no choice. You'll have to come to church on Sunday because if I'm the governor or president, ain't nothing open on Sunday. I'm not even going to let McDonald's open on Sunday. Us Baptists are going to starve to death for crying out loud. I don't want nothing open on Sunday. I want Sunday to be the Lord's Day. And make up in your mind, put that Sunday down. I'll tell you, there shouldn't be, I'll get the pick on the young people. There shouldn't be one young person in here. I don't know who your mommy and daddies are, so I think I'm safe. There shouldn't be no doubt in your mind where dad and mom are going to be on Sunday. I had three kids. My one boy, I'm the puny one in the family. My one boy was a giant. I don't know where he came from, but he was a giant. But as big as he was, if he ever came to me on a Sunday night and said, Dad, are we going to church? I'd have probably smacked him in the next week. I said, Son, are you nuts? The church door's open. We're going to be down there. And guess what? When the church doors are open here at this, I ain't going to try to say Sly Baptist Church, whatever, man. The bolt of lightning going to hit me. Can't speak English, forgive me. You belong at the house of God on Sunday. And if you're, especially if you're a member of this church, guess what? You belong here. Well, he come, I'm here, and he's still yelling at me. I just want you to pick up that rock and have it there. I'm going to be here. If anything else, just to give everybody a hard time. I tell you, my job at my church, you know what my job is at my church? I'm the thorn in the flesh. I'm the thorn in the flesh. If I don't see something going right, man, I'm, whoa, that's not right. We don't do that. We're Baptist. You ought to see, man, those Bradenton churches, they're glad to see me leave, man. Woo. They're still in the dark ages, man. You cross that bridge, look out. Don't ever move to the Bradenton Palmetto area, okay? I know they say they're fundamental. Well, if they is, let me know. Call me up, okay? This is fundamental. You're still hearing preaching. You're still hearing great music. What talent. Woo! Man, you could have all the call right after singing. God's here. Sunday's a special day, and you make sure you always remember it. You tell your grandchildren, you tell your children, forget these amusement things of the world. Well, my kid plays baseball tonight. Yeah? I'll tell you what my kid's going to be on Sunday night. He's going to be in the house of God. Well, he's the star of the team. I don't care. My boys played sports, but they knew they weren't allowed to go. They couldn't play sports on Wednesday, and they couldn't play sports on Sunday. They were at God's house. Why? You're building a memorial for them. Because, see, we got too many people now, even grandmas. I'll pick on grandmas because I'm a grandpa. Grandpas. We want to take our children to Disneyland. It's our family time. Make sure your family time is not on the Lord's Day. Family time is in the house of God. And speaking of family time, you're so worried about family time. Here comes the Baptist dinosaur in me. How many of you have, don't raise your hands, family altar with your kids every day? Oh! It's 2010. We don't do that kind of stuff, fool. 2010. Pick up a rock and start having family altar. There should be a time in every day of the week until you come into God's house where you and your family get on your knees and pray to God and have a little Bible study. And if you really want to punish the kids, try to sing a song. Okay? Have it. I'll tell you what, you want to see how God works? You want your faith to increase and your kids to increase? When I had my kids, I had three kids. I mean, this goes to show you how old I am. We had a big rocket ship. I put a big rocket ship in our living room. And on the one wing, I had all our prayer requests, and I put little gold stars on the prayer request. And on the other wing, I put a blue star for every prayer that was answered. You know what? My kids knew God answered prayer. Guess what my kids were teaching me? Hey, he works. He does answer prayer. You need family altar. And I know I'm from the dark ages. I realize I just got turned from the cave, and I am a caveman. I don't have a computer. I don't have an iPod. I don't even know what those iPods are. I'm still trying to figure out what the heck they are. I don't have that stuff. I'm lucky I got a TV. My church felt so sorry for me, they bought a TV. I've been watching for the last 35 years, I've been watching a black and white 5-inch TV. I like to watch football, baseball, and the news. Well, then they passed that stupid law where you got to have some kind of a special antenna or something. So my people looked at me and said, well, what are you going to do? I said, real easy. I'll listen to the radio. Don't matter to me. None. I don't need that devil box. Man, I'm going to park just on that stupid TV and computer that you guys got. Do you realize what that's doing to your mind and to your brain? I was going to preach one message, are you an enemy of God? But usually when I preach that, I never get asked back again. It pollutes your mind. You need family altar. You need a time in your day. And I don't care when it is. Could be at 6 o'clock. It could be early in the morning. Whenever your family's around. I know that, Brother Todd, this is 2010. We're running here, running there. Have family altar. A family that prays together, stays together. You get to, number one, if you don't know how to pray, your children will teach you how to pray. It's great when your wife is praying with you. It's great when your children are praying with you. It's great when you're looking at the Word of God together. Because you know what? You get to find out what your kids, what's bothering your kids. The husband gets to see what's bothering his wife. In my case, it always was a lot. Oh, rightfully so. But guess what? Have family devotions. I tell you what, I know brethren get mad at me when I say that. I realize I know I'm from outer space. But I'm going to tell you, this is why we have so many weak Christians. Now, I see young people here. And if I could trap them in a corner and ask them, what's the matter with God? All they know is defeated. Well, you know, so-and-so is defeated, so-and-so is defeated. They don't get to say, well, God's great. I saw him work, man. I saw somebody get saved. I saw God change a man's life. I saw God answer dad's prayer. I saw God. We don't allow them to see that because we'll meet God down at the church. Have your family altar. Pray and study God's word. Last of all, because I better shut up on this one, but I'll do it fast. How about church? The church, church, church. Church, put up that rock, your church, East Sly Baptist Church. If I didn't say it wrong, you can still yell at me, Mike. Put it there. I'm going to be here. If I was a member of this church, you're going to see my ugly face every day, every time the doors open. And guess what? If the earth swallows me up, it swallows me up. What's the worst thing going to happen to you, Christian? You get swallowed up. We're going to be up in glory. Amen. I don't understand Christians, man. We're all trying to live to be 2,000. We talk about how great heaven's going to be. All I know is these Christians are, oh, I got to work out. Oh, 1, 2. I got to work. Keep that. Get that cardiovascular moving, man. Oh, man, I got to take my medicine. Keep me going. Good night. Eat that fried chicken. Eat that stuff with lard. Good night. Something's got to take you up to glory. I gotta take care of myself. Good night. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing him. Man, I've been saved 39 years. The only time I get to see Christ is when I'm praying and when I'm reading him. Man, I'll tell the guys down at the jail. You know what I'm going to be doing the first 10,000 years in heaven? Thank you, 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 thank you. And you know what? When the good Lord comes over and says, hush, son. Guess what I'm going to do after he does that? Thank you, thank you. This is great. I know I don't belong here. You know the story that I like, and I'm going to shut up. But remember the thief on the cross? What I find amazing about that thief on the cross, he tells the Lord, remember me. Now, what I really find amazing at that story is God tells him, what? Today you're going to be with me in paradise. Can you imagine when he was in paradise? He probably looked around. Abraham says, what are you doing here? Some of the others say, Moses, what are you doing here? Here's this thief. I don't know. He only told me to believe. He said I was going to be with him today. You guys that have known him for a long time, you'll be a shouting Baptist then. I know Baptists can't get too carried away. We don't want to look charismatic now, you know. I know I walk a thin line. But you know what? It don't matter to me none. I've been a servant for his for so long that I'm looking forward to that return. But Joshua went across that mountain. I'm not even going to get touchy about tithing and soul winning, but I think those things are important. I've got to shoot one more rabbit. Please, dear people, keep on soul winning. There's somebody out there and needs to hear the gospel. Somebody out there. You got a beautiful building still. It's still here. I look around and I still see people here. Bring them in. Bring them in. Because really, they will get you some dignified preachers, trust me. And they'll get you good ones. I can understand that. I mean, I've had too much fun here. I just love your singing. I figured this is the first time I ever, man, I preached at a church, man. I felt, man, I'm ruining everything just preaching. There's other times, man, let me at them. But it's been great. And be faithful. And I'm hoping, simple message, but I don't want the Methodists to beat us to McDonald's. Whoa, they don't even meet us. Hey, I could have a two-hour message. They don't, no. Don't get sick. Or even so, Lord, come quickly. I understand. But remember what these people did. They build memorials. And people, that's what you need in your life, is memorials. Your salvation, the Bible, Sunday, the church. Be faithful. Hang in there. Hang in there. Memorial. You get discouraged, pick up that little memorial. Remember the good times you had? And the bad times. Bad times is for our learning. That's the ouch time. Good times is we can rejoice. Pick up a memorial and remember where you came from. Remember your church, your family, the dear brothers and sisters that are here. Don't take one for another for granted. Pray one for another. Didn't Jesus tell us when he was here on this earth to pray one for another? I love this church. This is a praying church, man. I like that. Guess what? God answers prayer. Pick up that memorial. Let's go to Lord in prayer, please. Father, we do call upon thee now. And Lord, I realize there's so much more to get out of memorials. But I just pray for your dear people. Father, how I pray that you would work in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, give them that fire for thee once again. Father, help your people to come in love with thee. Help your people to dedicate themselves to you. Help your people to take a stand, be fighters for thee. And Father, I pray that there's one person in our church tonight. Lord, I don't know everybody here, but I pray if there's one person here who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'm praying that thy Holy Spirit now will deal with them, draw them to your Savior. Lord, I realize that most of this message was for Christians, but Father, I don't want to be responsible and have somebody's blood on my hands when it comes to knowing you personally. So I pray, Lord, if there's anyone that even doubts they have salvation, that today that will happen. And I'm just asking you now to work in our midst, and I ask you this now in Jesus' name. Amen.